Thank you, guys. That was great singing this morning. That's a great way to start the morning off. So, listen, grab your Bibles and grab your notebooks again. And we're going to get into our message this morning. We're going to obviously carry on with what we've been talking about for the last couple of days today as we continue to discuss the born identity, your born identity in Christ. As a born-again Christian, the identity that you have now and what you should have now in Christ. And let's do a quick recap on what we learned so far in our first two mornings. On Monday, if you remember, we talked about and we learned seven things that you should be today as part of your born identity. Seven things that you should be. We said that you need to be conformed to the image of Christ. And number two, we said you need to be holy, even as Christ and as God is holy. And number three, we said you need to be content. Number four, we said you need to be thankful. Number five, be kind one to another. Number six, be ready. And number seven, be an example. Be an example of the believers. And then yesterday, we continued on with our theme, and we talked about the word no. We talked about how there's some things that we need to know today as Christians, as believers. There's some things that we need to know if we're going to have this born identity that we're supposed to have. And the first thing that we need to know is God's grace, both from the standpoint of salvation, but also how it helps us to serve Him on a daily basis, how He gives us grace to be able to do everything that we need to do for Him, which is what we're going to talk about today. Number two, what we talked about yesterday is that you need to know that you have eternal life and that it's settled in heaven and that God wrote it down in a book so you could know for sure. And number three, we talked about how your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, how you have God Almighty living inside of you. Take it up permanent residence. That moment that you got saved, those of you who made that decision last night to trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God came into your heart and took up permanent residence. And what an amazing thing that is. And number four, we talked about how you need to know truth. You need to know what truth is, where you can find it. And of course, we know the only source of truth is God's Word. It's the King James Bible. It's the only pure and preserved Word of God that we have available to us today. And that's the standard by which we measure everything else in our life. Every idea that we come across, every thought that enters into our head or that somebody presents to us in any way, we measure it against that standard of truth. And number five, we said that we need to know how to speak to people or how to witness to people, that there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And we have to know the difference and we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in those situations. And then number six, we talked about how you need to know that you're going to have trials in this life. You're going to have trials as a Christian, and those trials, the Bible says, worketh patience. But even more than that, those trials just they make you stronger. They prepare you for what God has for you. They make you a stronger Christian. They strengthen your faith in the Lord. And then number seven, we talked about how you need to know your weaknesses. You need to know the areas that you struggle in, so you can avoid those things, so you can make the right kinds of decisions on the things that you're going to do, the people that you're going to hang out with, the circumstances that you're going to allow yourselves to hang out with people, the places that you're going to go, all of those different things. You need to know your own weaknesses and know whether that's a good idea or whether that's a bad idea to keep yourself out of sin, to keep yourself out of trouble. Maintain that relationship with the Lord. So now today we come to the point where this is really where the rubber meets the road, as they say. This morning we're going to cover seven things that you need to do as part of your born identity. So we're going to finish this concept of be, know, do. And I think you guys have been talking about the same things in your devotions in the evenings, at night before you go to bed. And we got seven things this morning that we need to understand today that as part of your identity in Christ, that you should be doing on a daily basis. Because it doesn't matter how much you know about the Bible or about God or anything else, if you don't do anything with it, if you don't put those things into action and actually do something with it. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll ask His blessing on our time this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for the Lord Jesus. You know, first and foremost, Lord, we thank you for the souls that were saved last night. We thank you for these kids that raised their hand and came forward and made a decision, most important decision they're ever going to make, Lord, to trust you as their Lord and Savior. And I pray, Lord, that anybody that's still sitting in this room listening to me right now, that you're still dealing with them, Lord. You're still working on their heart and telling them that, you know, they need to make that same decision. They need to trust you as their Savior. I pray for them, Lord. I pray that the message this morning that they're going to hear, the time they're going to spend with their counselors throughout the day, the message they're going to hear tonight is just going to help to reinforce that and give them the courage and to make that call today, Lord, and make that decision and ask you to come into their heart and save them. So I pray for them today that would happen in their life. And Father, I just pray now as I open up your word and share this message that you've given me for everybody here. I pray that it'll be a blessing. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through me, Lord. Don't let me do it through the power of my flesh, but through the power of your Spirit. And give me the words to say, Lord. Give me clarity of thought and of speech, and let everybody be able to clearly understand and help us to take the things that we hear and apply them into our lives so that we can have a better walk with you and so that we can truly have that born identity that we're all to have, Lord. We love you, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're just going to jump right into it. The very first thing that we need to do as a Christian, that we need to do as part of this born identity, is you need to study your Bible. You need to study your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says this: "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." See, study is something that's an action, right? That's an active thing. He's not saying there you need to listen to the preacher when he preaches the Bible, although you certainly do. He's not saying that you need to listen to your friends or your counselors when they're trying to teach you something, although you absolutely do. No, this is something that you do on your own. He says, "Study to show thyself approved." This is between you and the Lord, and your own time and the effort that you put in to that Bible and to learning the Word of God. Psalms chapter 1, the beginning of Psalms chapter 1, talks about a blessed man or a blessed man. And in Psalms 1 verse 2, he says this. He says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." So the blessed man, the Bible says, meditates in God's law, the Word of God, day and night. And why does he do it? He does it because it's his delight. He does it because it's the thing that he loves more than anything else in his life. It's the thing that he cares about more than anything else in his life. And that's the question I have for you today. And the question I have for myself today is, what is your delight? What do you delight yourself in? What do you think about all the time? What do you spend all your time doing? Is it sports? Is it music? Is it video games? TV? Is it girls? Is it boys? What do you delight in? What is it that you're thinking about all the time and spending all of your time in? Because what we should be delighting in is the Bible. Amen. Our delight should be the Word of God. There should be nothing that holds our attention better than the Word of God. There should be nothing that we care more about than the Word of God. Because the bottom line is this: whatever it is that you care about, that's what you're going to invest your time in. Amen. Whatever it is that you care most about is where you're going to spend your time. So you can kind of reverse engineer it and basically look, as I said, look at yourself and look at your own life and ask yourself what you spend the most time doing. And you've just answered the question as to what your delight is. What you do, your actions are going to reveal what's really in your heart. So what we really spend our time doing is going to tell us where our delight really is. So there's no fooling anybody about this. There's no fooling yourself for sure, and there's certainly no fooling God. We've got to look at ourselves and see, where do we really invest our time? Where do we really put our heart and our energy into? I want to show you something else that he says in that verse in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that what? That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That phrase, "that needeth not to be ashamed," what's that talking about? Well, I'll tell you what it's talking about. We're all going to face something someday that's called the judgment seat of Christ. And many of us at that judgment are going to stand before God and we're going to be ashamed. We're going to be ashamed of how we lived our lives. We're going to be ashamed of how we wasted our time. We're going to be ashamed of how we spent hours and hours and hours getting good at Madden football or, you know, the new NCAA college football game that's out or whatever that it might be. We're going to be ashamed that we spent so much time getting good at a game like that and so little time studying the Word of God and learning the Bible and learning these principles. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." See, you're going to stand before God someday and you're going to be judged based on what we're talking about today. It's the do. It's what are you doing for God every day? What have you done? You're going to be judged based on what you've done in your body, whether it be good or bad. That's what he's going to be looking at. Don't put yourself in a position where you're going to be standing before God someday and you're going to be ashamed because you chose to do other things instead of study the Word of God. You chose to do other things instead of learn the principles of the Word of God. Let's move on to the second thing. The second thing that we need to have as part of our born identity, our identity in Christ, aside from studying the Word of God, the second thing we need to do is pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says simply this, "Pray without ceasing." Now this is one of the shortest and simplest verses in all of the Bible. It's one of the simplest concepts that we can ever learn, quite frankly. It's not a hard thing to understand. He says, "Pray without ceasing." That means pray all the time. Don't ever stop. See, God wants to have a relationship with you. And you cannot have a relationship without good communication. There's a lot of people in this room, in the back of this room right now, some of your counselors that are married. And they have a relationship. And they can tell you how important communication is within that relationship. It's the lifeblood of that relationship. When communication breaks down, everything breaks down. And your prayer life, obviously, is how... This is basic stuff, by the way, guys. I'm not trying to hit you with any kind of deep Bible truths today. Your prayer life is how you communicate with God. And the Word of God is obviously how He communicates with you. This is why these are number one and number two on your do list. Because if you're not praying and studying the Word of God, you're not communicating back and forth with God, you can't have a relationship with Him that way if you don't have that kind of communication. But how do you pray without ceasing? You see us up here, we pray for a meal, we pray before the message, pray before our devotion, pray before we go to bed, we're kneeling, we're bowing our heads. I can't walk around all day long with my head bowed and my eyes closed. I'll be running into everything. I'll be a worse driver than some of the girls in here. Amen. You can't do that. But you know what? You don't always have to have your head bowed and your eyes closed to be able to talk to God. He doesn't expect you to do that. Right. There certainly should be times in your life where you give Him that reverence, where you do bow your head and you do close your eyes. And it's literally just you and Him and you have that time with the Lord. But you should be talking to God throughout the day. Just like you would talk to a friend of yours. You're walking down the street, you're heading to do something. Just like if you were walking with a friend, you know, standing right next to you having a conversation. That's how you should be talking to God. Just talking to Him about what's on your mind, what's on your heart, what's going on. Telling Him your feelings, telling Him your fears, asking Him to help you with this, asking Him to help you with something else. That's how you pray without ceasing. It's an attitude of prayer throughout the day. It's constant communication with God. And the reason that it's so important is that it helps keep you focused on the things you need to be focused on. It helps keep your mind on the right things throughout the day. If you're constantly praying to the Lord and you're thinking about those things, and as we read in Psalms chapter 1, if you're meditating on the things of God and on the Word of God. And it's not just praying for ourselves that we need to be doing. That's another thing. You know, we're guilty of spending 90 to 95% of the time just praying for ourselves. We just tell God, I need this, I need that, I want you to do this for me, I want you to do that for me. And that's so far out of balance from where we should really be. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 says, "I thank God when whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night." So here's Paul talking about praying for Timothy. He was always praying for other people. He was always praying for everybody else around him. The importance of this is that praying for other people gets your focus off of yourself and onto others where it should be. It also helps your bad attitude towards people. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I just want you to think to yourself right now. Is there somebody maybe in this room right now that you have a bad attitude towards? Maybe somebody in this room right now that you don't like very much. It shouldn't be that way, right? We talked about how we need to be kind to one another, but the reality is that you know, we're flesh, and we get like that sometimes. But you know, if it's really hard to be mad at somebody, it's really hard to have a bad attitude towards somebody if you're praying for that person. If you're spending time on your knees praying for somebody and the issues that they might have in their life, maybe not even knowing everything that's going on in their life, it's going to be really difficult for you to maintain and to continue to have a chip on your shoulder towards that person. So we need to be praying for each other. Aside from the fact of what it does for you and your own walk with the Lord, we need it. I need people praying for me. I need that help, and I think you need people praying for you. And let's go one step beyond that. 1 Samuel chapter 12, 23 says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." So he goes on to say, it's not just that it's not a cool thing, it's not a good thing, it's something you need to do. He says it's literally sinning against God when you don't pray for each other, when you don't pray for other people. And when I try to be honest with myself and I find myself having a bad attitude towards somebody, that's the first thing I try to ask myself is, when's the last time you prayed for them? When's the last time you got on your knees and started thinking about them and what issues and what troubles they might be having, and ask God to help them, and ask God to take care of whatever needs that they might have? We need to be praying for each other. And if you're going to have that right born identity, if you're going to have that right identity in Christ, you should be praying for each other. So number one, we need to be studying the Word of God. Number two, we need to pray. And the number three thing that we need to do is we need to do God's will. You need to be doing God's will every day. Hebrews 13, verse 21. Hebrews 13, 21 says, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We need to do God's will. Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 here. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says this, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe," what? "To do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law," verse 8, "shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Sound familiar? "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So he says again, meditate in thy law day and night. And he says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. But notice that he says, the key word in both of those verses is all. He says to observe to do all that is written therein. You can't pick and choose when it comes to God. You can't pick and choose when it comes to the Bible. You got to do all of it. You don't get to take, as Bob likes to say, you don't get to take an X-Acto knife to your Bible and cut the verses out that you don't like. The verses that don't quite work for you. You can do that at lunch today. You can go through the line and say, "I'll have that, and I'll have that, and no, I don't want any of that, and no, thank you, I don't want that. But give me dessert, I'll have that." You can do that, but when it comes to the Bible, you don't get to do that.
Amen.
The Bible says you have to observe to do all of it. You have to take all of God's will, and you have to obey it, and you have to do it. Why do you think we did the Buddy Bingo thing the way that we did? You guys had a list in the back of that book, 25 things on there. Do you get any points if you get 24 of them? No. You got to do all of it. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't do you any good if you get 20 or 22 or 23. You got to do all 25 if you want to get the points. And in your life, if you want to be right with God, if you want to truly have this born identity that we're talking about, you have to do God's will and you have to do all of it. You don't get to choose some of it and leave some of it for behind. You know, we sing a hymn. It's a great old hymn. It's called Jesus Paid It All. And how does that hymn go? You guys know it. It says, Jesus paid it all.
All to Him I owe.
All to Him I owe. There it is. He paid it all for you. You owe it all to Him.
Amen.
You owe Him your life. And you've got to get in that book. And you've got to do His will. All of it. All of it. James 4:17 says, Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So there we go again, just like we learned that if we don't pray for each other, it's sin. He says, if you know to do good and you don't do it, it is sin. We tend to think that just doing the wrong things are sinful, okay? I mean, that it's kind of simple, okay? You smoke, you do drugs, you drink, you steal, you do those kinds of things. That's sin. We kind of understand that. Those are pretty simple things. But he tells us here, if you know to do good, if you know the right thing to do in a situation and you don't do it, I'm not saying you're doing the wrong thing. You just don't do anything. He says it's sin. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it is sin to him. So here's the thing. And this is where you guys have gotten yourself in trouble by coming to camp this week. You guys don't have an excuse anymore. You know what's right now. Some of you guys, maybe the things that you're hearing this week is the first time you've ever heard it. But you know what to do. You know what you're supposed to be. You know what you're supposed to know. And we're getting today what you're supposed to do. And if you don't do it, it's sin. Let's move on to the fourth thing that we need to do to have this identity, this born identity in Christ. And this fourth thing is, you need to do everything you do through Christ. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Remember how we talked about how you need to know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the temple of God now. God lives inside of you. You need to do what you do through that power. I talked about it yesterday, how what an amazing thing is that the power that spoke this universe into existence lives inside of you. But we have the choice of whether we're going to operate through that power or whether we're going to operate through our own flesh. We choose every day to do that. And you need to operate through the power of God. You need to do what you do through Christ. That means doing things the right way. That means doing things based on the Bible, based on biblical principles, and acknowledging the Lord in everything that you do. Not doing it based on your own strength and your own abilities. Romans 8 verse 8 says, So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Even if you do the right thing, but you do it through your own power, you do it through your own strength and your own might, it doesn't please God. Because you cannot please God when you do things through your flesh. You simply cannot try to serve God in your own power. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The power is of God, not us. Listen, as you guys grow and you mature and you develop, you're going to get to the point where you may know the Bible well enough that you can sit down and throw out a devotion without thinking much about it, and that thing is totally out of your flesh. And we can't afford to operate that way. We can't afford to do things that way. God wants us to do everything that we do through Christ and through His power. Don't do that stuff through your flesh. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. See, it says in that verse in Philippians that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So what he's saying there is that process of doing everything through Christ actually strengthens you. It strengthens your own relationship with the Lord. It makes you a better Christian. It makes you a stronger Christian. The act of doing things through God. And this is what this says. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That inner man gets strengthened through that process. And that's something that we need to do on a daily basis. Alright, let's move on to number five. The fifth thing today that we need to do if we're going to have this born identity, if we're going to have this identity in Christ, the fifth thing you need to do is mind your own business. Maybe we should sit here for a minute. I don't know. But you need to mind your own business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, "And that ye study to be quiet." I'm just pausing there for a second to make sure the girls heard that. "And that ye..." I'm teasing. I'm being mean to the girls. But listen, I'm the biggest talker in the world. So I need to sometimes learn how to study to be quiet. My mouth runs way too much. Who said that? Naomi? I knew. I didn't have to look up and see you laughing. I knew that was you. She's not wrong, though. All right, listen. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." There's nothing worse than a busybody, guys. There's nothing worse than a busybody for the cause of Christ to disrupt God's work and what God's doing. And I'll tell you something, God agrees with that idea. Listen to this, 1 Peter chapter 4:15. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." I'm going to read that one more time. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." Do you see what God did there? God just put busybody in the same category as murderers and thieves and evildoers. You think that being a busybody isn't something that God cares about? I promise you it is. He doesn't do things like that flippantly, okay? That's not like an accident. Like, oh, it's just, oh, throw this in there too, to the Holy Spirit. He's trying to show us that He does not like busybodies. God's literally equating being a busybody with being a murderer or a thief, okay? Now, this world doesn't equate those things. You're not going to get thrown in jail for the rest of your life for being a busybody. But as far as your relationship with God's concerned, and as far as how you affect the work of God within the body of Christ, it's a pretty big deal to God here. He says, mind your own business. He says, don't be a busybody. We spend way too much time worrying about other people's business. And any time at all is too much time, if we're being honest. You don't need to worry about what's going on with other people. Worry about what's going on in their lives in the sense that, you know, they need prayer, if they need help, if they need some support. But don't worry about, we walk around, we're constantly worried about what other people are doing. And whether they should be doing this, whether they should be doing that. And we take it one step further, and then we're telling everybody about it. We're being a gossip. Busybodies and gossips are almost always the same people. It goes hand in hand. God calls them talebearers in the Bible. And in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8, it says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." When you talk about people, when you're spreading gossip about people, those are like wounds. You hurt that person. And you hurt the work of God. You hurt the unity of the body of Christ that needs to be there. We just got to stop that stuff, guys. Listen, we all love to get that tea, don't we? Everybody loves it. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it just the same. You know, one of my girls will walk in the house. They're like, "Oh, I got a story, and I could be doing anything in the world." And I'm like, "Huh? Hey, I want to hear." You know, I can be honest about it. That's a problem, guys. That's a problem. It's not my business. It's not my business to know what's going on in somebody else's life. Some embarrassing thing that happened to somebody. Some terrible mistake that somebody made. If that person chooses to come and talk to me about it because they want my help, they want my prayer, they want my advice, whatever that might be, okay, they've chosen to make that my business. But then it's my job to keep it right there. Right. But if it's something else happened and it doesn't have anything to do with me, then it's not my business, and I need to stay away from it. And here's the way that it works. It's not just the talebearer that's the problem. It's the person like me that wants to come over and say, "Ooh, what? What's going on? What'd you hear? I want to hear it." It's the person that listens that's just as bad as the person that's telling it. Because the thing is, if there's nobody listening to a talebearer, guess what the talebearer does? They just shut up. They don't have anybody to talk to. Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." So what are you? Are you a talebearer, or do you have a faithful spirit? Can you conceal the matter? Can you keep something private that somebody brings to you or that happens to somebody that you know about? for their own sake, to protect them from that embarrassment? Can you just keep it to yourself, not judge them for it, not go around telling everybody else about it, and just help them with it, and just pray for them about it? Because let me tell you something. You're going to find yourself in the same spot someday where you did something stupid that you don't want everybody to know about. So you better think about that next time you take some juicy bit of gossip that you hear from somebody and you go spread it around to everybody because you don't like that person and you want everybody to know about it. Because I guarantee you it's going to happen to you someday, and you're sure going to want somebody to have a faithful spirit and conceal the matter for you. Don't be a talebearer, and don't be somebody who listens to it. Somebody comes up to you, just say, hey, not my business, and walk away. Just walk away from it, guys. All right, let's move on to number six. The sixth thing that we need to do to have this correct identity, to have this born identity, and be everything Christ wants us to be, the sixth thing is do good to other people. That sounds like a simple thing, but it's like, oh yeah, that's obvious, but God calls it out. He says, do good. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So he says, as we therefore have opportunity. Guys, you have opportunity every single day to do good to people. You have opportunity every day to help people, to do good things for people, to help them with their struggles, help them with their problems. It's just a matter of whether we're going to do it or not. Proverbs 3:27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. How many times have you been in a situation where somebody needed help with something and you could have helped them, but you were a little bit too busy and you just chose not to? You had exactly the thing that they needed at that time, but you're like, I don't want to mess with that today. I don't want to do that. He says here, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. If you have the ability to help somebody with something, help them. Do it. He says, do good unto other people. That is part of the born identity in Christ. That is part of your identity in Christ. That should be a part of your, absolutely a part of your nature and your identity as a Christian, is that you do good to people. Too many times we hurt people more than we do good to people. And what an embarrassing thing that is to say about Christianity, but that's the reality of where we are sometimes. Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and some of you older kids may know this chapter. Some of you younger ones will need to learn it someday. But Genesis chapter 24 is a great chapter in the Bible on laying out principles of how you want to find a mate, how you want to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a future husband or wife. There's principles in there of what you should be looking for and the character qualities and characteristics that you should be seeking. And it has nothing to do with how pretty they are or how strong they are or how good they look in a tank top. It has everything to do with what they are on the inside and the character that they are. But I just want to show you something out of here that ties into what we're talking about here. And it's in verses 17 through 20. And I just realized I turned to Exodus, so that's not going to work. Here we go. It says, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Now, in this story, this water, we talked about this on the very first day, water is a picture of the Word of God. So this is a picture of somebody who's thirsty and somebody who says, I'll get you water. I'm going to share the Word of God with you. I'm going to give you something. And then it says, and I will draw water for thy camels also. Camels are a picture of unsaved people or working with people in ministry that are difficult to work with, because it's hard to get camels to drink water when they don't want to drink water. But this girl says, I'll get water for you, and you know what? I'm going to get water for your camels also. Notice, he never asked for any water for the camels. Right? The servant said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. She went over and above what was asked. She saw the need of something beyond what he even asked for. But then I want to show you verse 20. It says, "And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels." So she was in a hurry. She was in a hurry to do what was right. She was in a hurry to help him. It says she hasted to help him. We get in a hurry in life to do a lot of things. We should ask ourselves, how many times do we get in a hurry to do what's right? How many times are we in a hurry to go and try to help somebody? How many times do we run to try to help somebody with something that they need? You know, in the book of Acts, there's a story there where the Holy Spirit pulls Philip out of a great revival, and he sends him out to the backside of the desert to this Ethiopian eunuch who needs to have somebody help him to learn the Bible. And he sends Philip all the way out there, and in verses 29 and 30 of Acts chapter 8, it says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to meet him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest?" Philip ran to go and do that. Holy Spirit said, "I got a job for you to do," and he ran. He had an urgency about wanting to do what God had called him to do. And when it comes to this, and when it comes to doing good to other people, we should have urgency about it. We have urgency about so many things in our lives. We're in a hurry to go and do so many different things. How many times are we in a hurry, and do we haste, and do we run to go and do good to somebody that needs it? All right, let's go to our final thing this morning. Our final thing that we need to do as part of this born identity, our identity in Christ. If we're going to be everything Christ wants us to be and everything that we truly should be as Christians, our final thing, number 7, is we need to tell people about the Lord. Tell people about the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Do the work of an evangelist. Well, what is an evangelist? An evangelist is somebody who goes out and tells people the good news about Jesus Christ and what he did for them. And Paul tells Timothy here to do the work of an evangelist. It is one of the most, if not the most important things that God tells us that we need to do as Christians. Everywhere around you are people who need the Lord. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about what he's done for them. They need to hear about how he died on the cross for them. They need to hear about how the religion that they're trusting in, their own works that they're trusting in, all of the false things that they're trusting in to try to get to heaven are not going to get them to heaven.
Amen.
They need to hear the truth of the Word of God. They need to hear the truth of the gospel story.
Amen.
About how Christ came down and he died on the cross. And only by putting their faith and trust in his shed blood can they get salvation, can they get forgiveness of their sins and go to heaven. They need to hear that. But how are they going to hear it if you don't tell them? Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" They can't believe on somebody that they've never heard about. And how are they going to hear about him if there's not a preacher to tell them? And guys, it doesn't say pastor here, by the way. Yeah, that's part of a pastor's job, is to preach the Word of God and to tell people about Jesus. But it says preacher here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not every one of you in this room is going to be a pastor someday. But every single person in this room, guys and girls alike, are commanded to be preachers. We're supposed to be preachers of righteousness, preachers of the truth of the Word of God. And God has people in your life and in your world that need to hear about Jesus. And you may be the only one that could ever tell them. And you have to think about it in that sense. When God presents an opportunity to you to tell somebody about the Lord, you need to think about it in the sense that this may be that person's last chance to ever hear this. And if I don't tell them, they might die and go to hell, and it'll be my fault for not Now, they might reject the message, but listen, you don't want that blood on your hands. You don't want that standing someday watching God cast somebody into the lake of fire and have them look at you and say, "I was friends with you all those years. You never told me one time about Jesus." Right before they get cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. I don't want to experience that feeling. I don't think you guys want to experience that feeling. We need to tell people about the Lord. We need to tell people about Him. Look at Acts chapter 8. We were just talking about Philip and that Ethiopian eunuch. Look what happens here in this story. He tells him, you know, he says, understand us what thou readest. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 31. It says, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Guys, you're going to get opportunities where God's going to put somebody in your world and they're going to ask you a question. Maybe they're not going to ask you a question, but they need to hear about Jesus. And you need to be like Philip. And in that moment, you need to open up the scriptures and you need to preach unto them Jesus. You need to tell them about Jesus. You need to tell them about what He did for them. You need to tell them about what He wants to do for them, how He wants to save them, how He loves them so much. There's no greater task that's given to us. There's no greater job that's given to us than to share the message and to share that salvation that was freely given to us and to share it with other people. If you're going to have that born identity, if you truly have it, you won't be able to contain yourself. You won't be able to stop talking about it. You know, I mentioned this, I think, the my first message on Monday, and Bob mentioned it again either that night or last night. That saying that you know, his father and the Lord used to say that if your Christianity isn't contagious, then it's contaminated. And, you know, this isn't as catchy as that, but look, if you find yourself contained when it comes to the Lord, you know, then your Christianity has become contaminated. Because if it's right, and if we have this identity, and we're everything that we need to be, and we know everything we need to know, and we're doing the things that we need to do, you won't be able to stop yourself from telling people about the Lord. It'll be the thing that you think about more than anything else all day long. You're going to be looking for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. And if you don't, if I don't, then we need to look within ourselves and say, you know what, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here, and there's people that are potentially going to die and go to hell someday because of me, because of my own shortcomings, because I'm not doing the job that I need to do. So I challenge you guys today. This is my last time that I'm going to get to speak to all of you. I'm going to close up here in just a second, and we're going to get on with our day. But I mentioned this before, camp's over after tonight. And look, we got a full day ahead of us. So I'm not acting like this is the end. We got a full day, and we're going to have a great time. And you guys are going to have a great time getting into the Word with Pastor Bob tonight, and then on down through the rest of the night with everything you guys are doing. But tomorrow morning, everybody goes home. And tomorrow morning, it's back to the real world. It's back to everything that you left behind, everything that you've been able to get yourself away from for the last few days. And you got to go back to it. So I challenge you to take the things that we've talked about this week, and don't let it just be something that just goes that you get excited about it while we're here, and then you go home and you just put it on the shelf, you put it to the side, and you just go back to being the same person that you were before you got here. I challenge you to ask God to help you do whatever it takes to maintain what He does in your life this week. Maintain what He's given you this week. The passion and the vigor and the fervor that you have right now, that you feel, the people that you're thinking about right now back home that you need to tell about Jesus, the things that you know that you need to do, the things that you need to change about your life.
Amen.
And ask God to help you to make it a permanent thing. Make it a permanent thing. Don't slip back into your old ways. Don't slip back into your old life, that comfort zone that you were in before you came here on Sunday. And ask God to make it a lasting thing, and He'll do it. But it's going to take work on your part. It's going to take these 21 things that we've talked about over the course of these last 3 days. There's things that you need to be. There's things that you need to know. And there's things that you need to do to truly fulfill that identity in Christ, that born identity that God wants you to have as a child of God. We're going to hold up there, guys. Thank you. We're going to pray, and I will dismiss you. You guys are doing two different things, so just check with your counselors on where you need to be. Youth group, you guys are going to be down in the gym. Timothy, you guys are going to be all up here, but I don't know where you're starting, so your counselors will tell you what you guys are doing. So I want you to have a great morning time activity. Have so much fun. And then we'll be having lunch, free time this afternoon, same as yesterday. So we will see you guys around today. Have a great day. Be safe. Drink lots of water. And have lots of fun, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for all that you've done for us so far this week. I thank you for what you're going to continue to do throughout the rest of this day and tonight. And I pray we'll be able to take these things that we talked about the last few days and apply them into our lives, Lord. And as I said just a moment ago, help us to really make a commitment to you, Lord, to make these things stick so that they'll be a permanent thing. The things that we've changed, the things that we've looked at, that we'll make them permanent, Lord, that will truly every day be what we need to be, know what we need to know, and do what we need to do for you, Lord. And I pray that you'll watch over and protect everybody throughout the day today. Keep them safe. Help them to have a great time today, Lord. And we love you, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.